Welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour and Shalom Chaverim to all our listeners locally on 1220 AM radio, live on the net at WHKWradio.com. This is John Bartlett, your co-host, with our Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford, missionaries to the church, helping to move us out of the lukewarm, rule-by-the-people Laodicean church into the Jesus expectors of the Philadelphia church. Especially in today's world of deception and apostasy, the Word must be your priority and passion. And we want to help you demystify some of the more difficult passages by using some very basic Hebraic roots taught by our first century fathers, especially about the end times, because we are certainly in them. And tonight, we will continue teaching verse by verse through the book of Joel. And a reminder, you can re-listen to this teaching later this week, as well as any other program, all labeled for you to choose from, a wealth of biblical information at shofarministries.net. Let's begin tonight's program with prayer and ask for God's blessing on the program. We also want to include those in the hard-hit areas of the storm tonight, especially in Colorado Springs, where we know that you have people out there, Lord, and they have lost their homes, and we just pray they get some place to live soon and some place to stay permanently, and because this is just really bad. And same for the folks on the East Coast without power right now, Lord. We just lift them up to you. You have your people everywhere, and I know that you pay very close attention to our lives. We've had a lot of requests for the healing of back, so I just want to lift up that to you tonight, Lord. There's a couple of people I have in mind, but they do need back healing because they have serious back problems. I'm going to lift up my mother tonight in prayer as well. Let's see. And generally, Lord, just all that your church tonight will stand in these times and be faithful in this last day. Everyone's getting attacked by the enemy spiritually as well as literally. And I just pray that you would help us be able to discern the signs of the times that we're seeing right now. And we pray in the name of Yeshua, the Son of God.
Amen. Amen. All of you joining us live right here tonight and every Tuesday at 8 p.m. And I want to remind you that this Friday we will be in Chesterland at 7 o'clock at the Chester Christian Center at 11815 Chillicothe Road. I hope you can join us. We're going to be really honing in on the rapture and going over the scriptures, and there's lots of them. We're also going to be talking a little bit about why some people say there is no pre-trib rapture and what actual verses they use to defend their position. And I'm going to show you how it's wrong. totally wrong.
Misuse.
Yes.
Would be probably a better way to
Thank
say
you.
That.
Thank yeah. you.
Hmm. Well, okay, Sheila. Let's see. Now we are in the book of Joel, and this is another verse-by-verse teaching. But before we do that, get into that, I know a lot of things happened in the news this week.
Yes, that's true. The worst thing, of course, is those terrible people without electricity now, still 104 degrees average in those areas of, what is it, like West Virginia, Maryland, things like that.
Oh, yeah, the heat wave.
Yeah, the heat wave. Yeah. And also the fires that are happening in Colorado Springs. It's just some devastating times. But let's talk a little bit about world news.
Okay.
And stricter sanctions have been put on Iran from the European Union, actually started yesterday. And we have lowered the oil exports by a third. So now Iran has started their war games. So we saw dozens of ballistic missiles fired. And then, of course, it's designed to show their ability to retaliate if attacked. Also, Iran is threatening to close the Straits of Hormuz, which they always do threaten. But we have doubled our warships in the Gulf, and Saudi Arabia is actually aiding with their forces. So hopefully that will be a deterrent to Iran not to try to close Straits of Hormuz. But there's some underground pipes also, I understand, that have been placed there quite a while ago from Saudi Arabia, which will help a lot as well. But we did see the gas go up a few pennies because of it. So we'll see what happens there. Iran will probably say, after a little time, because they really don't like these sanctions, even though they pretend it doesn't bother them. They don't like them. It does take money out of their pockets. So as they always do, they'll probably say, oh, okay, we're ready to sit down and talk. However, you must first lift the sanctions, okay? And, of course, we probably will, although you think we would learn our lesson by now. But Iran is just buys more time, and this has been their continual game all along. And, of course, the talks will have to be scheduled, and that will take, of course, more weeks to set it all up.
Oh, yada, 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 yada.
Yeah, got it.
Same thing over and over again.
It is. It is. Stall, stall, stall. The thing about it is it's working. I mean, they're getting more nuclear, you know, plutonium enriched, and they just keep going strong.
Do you think somebody would see this tactic for what it is? And it is a tactic.
Well, and I'm sure our president does know all about this, knows exactly what they're doing. Okay. Now, there is a question, and that is, what will Barack Obama do to enhance his reelection? Because everybody's saying he's going to do something.
Well, they are. Okay.
Well, yeah.
Well, because he's suffering in the polls,
yeah,
I think, right
he's,
now.
Well, he's... Yeah.
He's not very, he's going
he's
down
not
in
winning
the polls.
Ahead. Yeah,
he's not
exactly.
really ahead. Yeah. So,
so
he
I'm
to
sure something's on his mind. Probably 24/7 is probably eating away at him. The Obamacare, I think he thought would really help him a lot, but it hasn't really. So something I believe will happen before November.
Yeah. And will it be the right thing for him or will it backfire?
Yeah. It'll all depend on who God wants to be the next president because God chooses our leaders. That's what the Bible says. He chooses our kings. Okay, so it will be up to God. And the thing about it is, we have to learn to be content, as Paul says, in whatever situation.
And that's...
He's God's in control, and I'm okay with that, because I know he is. And I have enough faith to believe that that's true.
And you're okay with 4 more years of Obama? And
that's if all... that's what God's will is, of course I am.
I am too.
If it means bringing Jesus faster, it's fine with me.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I knew you were going to say that.
You know, I think that people just need to realize that we really, as the bride of Christ, have one major priority.
And what is that?
Witnessing. We have to tell people about Jesus and use the situation that's going around us, you know, all the fires and the calamities that we're experiencing, and use that to show people that God's hand of protection is being lifted. Okay?
Yeah.
And then maybe they will consider reading his word and finding the truth. I mean, that's what it's all about. That's really what our job is.
Yeah.
You know.
Did you want to say anything about that Isaiah 9:10 prophecy?
Oh, I love that. The Harbinger.
The Harbinger book.
And the Isaiah 9:10, there's a DVD out, which I saw, which was fantastic.
Yeah.
There's been some people that have said, oh, you know, they're off on this and it's not this kind of a tree and blah, blah, blah. And I think they're missing the whole point because we're talking typology here.
Yes.
You know,
and
the whole Old Testament is the typology of what's happening in the future. And that is, it's wonderful. And I recommend it to get it.
Yeah.
Amazon has got it, I believe, and it's not that expensive.
No, and it's very interesting. And you'll see, you can see very clearly that God is taking his hand.
Oh, yes.
Protection away. It's not that he's punishing us, but since we are publicly approving of sin and we are
big time
and we are publicly denying him, then he's denying us.
That's right.
You know, or what we think he's doing is just pulling his hand of protection back. And that's a sign.
That is.
That's a sign that we need to start repenting and get down to business and get real with God.
Right. And then let's talk a little bit about Syria. You know, fighting continues in Syria, and it was looking really grim for Assad, and he knew that, so he had to do something. So over the weekend, he actually fired all of his veteran army commanders, but he did give them full pay.
I was going to say, did they get separation pay?
Whatever. But let's face it, after 16 months, they're pretty tired, and their spirits were falling, and many were actually defecting because they just... are doubting whether Assad can overcome these rebels, and now especially because Turkey's helping out with the rebels.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not too good. But now Assad has a new set of younger commanders, most of them drawn from the brutal Alawite Chabiha militia. Now, this is the ruling family's primary arm against its enemies. It's the army that surrounds him and protects him.
Personal army. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So he's actually using some of them now for the rest of the army. So he's really digging in, and already the death toll has risen significantly in just the last couple of days. But Assad stated he says he can end this revolt within 2 months. That's what he said. So we'll see.
We'll see.
Okay, another thing is the Muslim Brotherhood President Morsi has been sworn in of Egypt, and Hamas celebrated in the streets. Of course, you know they're an offshoot of Muslim Brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
Also, and I've said this before, but it bears repeating, Hillary Clinton has strong ties with the Muslim Sisterhood for sure, okay, and that's the female version of the Brotherhood.
Yeah, and I think last week you said something about her chief of staff is...
Well, it wasn't last week. It was a while ago.
But
her personal advisor and best friend, I am told,
mm-hmm.
Huma Abedin,
mm-hmm. also,
Wiener.
Now, she's also the wife to the ex-Congressman Anthony Wiener.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, that pervert, you mean?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, she is, and still is, by the way. And
right.
they had a baby after that fiasco. But anyway, her mother, now remember, Huma is the personal advisor to Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
Huma's mother is a member, card-carrying member of the Muslim Sisterhood.
Mm-hmm.
And her best friend, okay, Huma's mom's best friend, just happens to be the first lady of Egypt's new president.
Morsi?
Yes.
Nah.
So you see, they're all interconnected here.
So we're talking, no wonder Hillary is all for the Muslim Brotherhood.
That's right. She has connections there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, anyway, and of course, much to the surprise of many, I really didn't think Obamacare would pass, but it sure did. And I'm not going to go into the details because I don't want to take Bible time away. But basically, it's just going to mean less good doctors. Many are quitting the field or retiring because they're close to it anyway. Ration care will definitely be a part of this because
mm-hmm.
everything has to be okayed by the government.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have definitely more national debt. And eventually, it's just going to take down America, this debt that we're getting into. It's squeezing out the middle class, and we're on our way to full-blown socialism. And then globalism.
Mm-hmm.
But it's predicted that when a nation forgets God, calamity is sure to continue.
That's right. And speaking of calamity, we had this terrible weather
over
the weekend.
As we mentioned.
And the fires.
And, of course, don't forget the high levels of greed and corruption. And the latest was even with their own Attorney General, Eric Holder, in spite of Obama's executive privilege, he still has been served with contempt of Congress, first time ever.
Hmm.
But I doubt that anything will happen to him, especially before November.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of corruption, high-level corruption,
right.
And a lot.
And Isaiah 5 talks about the bribery of judges and they'll mm-hmm. be corrupt and all that, and it's certainly true. And who knows what happened with this judge that was supposed to be.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's anybody's guess what he was offered or threatened
mm-hmm.
with. Who knows?
And they were talking about it today on the news, on Fox News, you know,
yeah. mm-hmm.
and they're certainly saying that some politics got involved there.
Nothing is as it seems.
Yeah. Well, and if you're threatened with your life,
yeah,
that's another story. But
mm-hmm.
anyway, again, God's in control. But we have blatant immorality and perversions, and unless God changes the course, America's going down, and he's not going to change the course unless everyone repents.
That's right.
And it's not looking real good, and I think I can hear the hoofbeats
yep.
in the distance.
Please, folks, pray. Get a burden for lost souls.
Oh, yes.
Because this is at the door.
That's right. And again, God is giving you these signs so that you can go to people and explain, look and see what happened. Use what's happening in the world to help open the eyes of people. And again, it's this ministry's goal to help you dig deeper in the Word, because that's what produces the Duma, or the power that you need to tell others of what Jesus did for all of us. Now, if you wonder why you lack the desire to witness, it's because you lack the power. And instead, the enemy plays with your mind and tells you, oh, you're not smart enough to share the gospel. Come on, you know that's a lie straight from the pit.
That's right. And, you know, the enemy will also if you have any sin in your life that you've let continue, and, you know, that's going to dampen your witnessing.
Amen.
You know, so you need to get that out and confess.
We all need to repent, I'll tell you what.
Yes, we do. Yep. And let's get into our study now. We're going to, we're still in chapter 2.
Yeah, we will be. There's a lot there.
Three shows later, we're still in chapter 2.
That's right.
And in chapter 1, I'll just review a little bit. The land of Judah had just experienced a horrendous and devastating divine judgment from the Almighty of locusts, drought, and widespread fire, and that devoured all the open pastures. Then God shows Joel a deeper insight to that catastrophe, portraying the picture of a similar judgment in the end of days, but with much greater severity. For instance, demonic locusts coming right out of the pit of the abyss in the final days. And that, by the way, begins with a trumpet and a shout.
That's right. We covered that in quite extensively. And last week there was a pretty good, I think, huge gold nugget last week.
Mm-hmm.
We saw, with the help of Isaiah 26, that at the rapture / resurrection, we, the bride, will enter into our bridal chamber of heaven. And it even says, until the indignation is past, that's the tribulation. And then we come back to earth with Jesus, and Revelation 19 talks about that. And he comes back to finish the judgment that began 7 years before and then enter into the reign of Christ, our King, which will be called the Millennial Kingdom.
Amen. Woo! And if, you know, we've discussed all this in detail.
Mm-hmm.
So, listeners and friends, I just encourage you to go to the radio podcast archives. You find them very easily on our shofarministries.net. Website. Catch up with the details of this great book of Joel. It's not a minor prophet. Joel's not a minor prophet by any stretch of the imagination.
No, he's not. And I'm thinking, why don't we go ahead and take a quick break? And then when we come back, we will not have to stop again, and we can continue and...
Okay. Well, all right.
Sean, what do you think? Think that's
okay,
a
well,
good
we'll,
time for that?
We'll take a little break here before we actually go for a couple of minutes. I want to remind you that tax-deductible donations to this ministry are tax-deductible. I finally said it. Hooray for me. Yes. This is a very needed Hebraic roots ministry. This stuff we teach here does not get taught in too many churches. So we would really like you.
Well, and to stay in balance, too.
It's,
you know, sometimes some of them go too far, get out of balance. Get into legalism, and I certainly do
that.
Yeah,
we don't agree with that. But anyway, airtime is expensive, as you may well know. And you can use the PayPal on our website, or if you want, you can just send your gift directly to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton 44021. And I'm sure the Lord will bless you. And plus, you'll get on the newsletter, Sheila's newsletter. And include your email address if you have one. And be sure to check out the webpage where all the newsletters and previous radio shows are all archived there for you to look up. And the phone lines are open, so if you do have a question, we'd be happy to field that question from you. The number is 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-9673. Stay with us now. You're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour, and we'll be right back
after the song by the Tally Trio called Woke Up This Morning.
You don't have to wait for politicians to make Ohio a safer place for your kids. You don't have to wait for anybody. All you have to do is keep your eyes open and remember that bad railroad crossings kill good drivers. When you see a dangerous crossing or crossing signals that aren't working, go to angelsontrack.org and report it. So far, 28 dangerous crossings have had gates installed because of those reports, making Ohio a safer place for kids like yours. Sponsored by Angels on Track, aired by the OAB and this station.
Do the terrible twos really have to be so terrible? Just ask any two-year-old. The answer will most assuredly be no.
Dr. James Dobson for Family Talk.
If there is one word that characterizes the period between 15 and 24 months of age, it is no. No, he doesn't want to eat his cereal. No, she doesn't want to take her bath. And you can be sure no, he doesn't want to go to bed any time at all. Perhaps the most frustrating aspect of the terrible twos is the tendency kids have to spill things, to eat horrible things, to fall off things, to flush things, and to get into things. Our son Ryan used to blow bubbles in the dog's water dish, which horrified his mother. The picture sounds bleak, and admittedly there are moments when a little toddler can wreak havoc on a home. However, even with all its struggles, there is no more thrilling time of life than this period of dynamic blossoming and budding independence, and it passes by all too quickly. There are many parents of older children today who would give all that they own to relive those bubbly days with their toddlers. So to the harassed mom out there who has just about had it with motherhood, I hope you'll hang tough. Someday you'll also look back on these experiences with the warmest of memories.
Hear more at MyFamilyTalk.com.
When my alarm clock rang today, a smile appeared across my face just like it happened early yesterday. And I suppose tomorrow's gonna be the same, 'cause this feeling deep inside's not about to change. Woke up this morning, listening for the trumpet. Got a glimpse of glory when I knelt down to pray. I got a homesick feeling, thinking about the great homecoming. Woke up this morning saying this could be the day. Criticize the way we dream about a better place so far away beyond the cloudy blue. But if they let the Lord above come fill them with his joy and love, some happy day we'll hear them singing too. Woke up this morning, listening for the trumpet. Got a glimpse of glory when I knelt down to pray. I got a homesick feeling, thinking about the great homecoming. Woke up this morning saying this could be the day. Woke up this morning listening for the trumpet. Got a glimpse of glory when I knelt down to pray. I got a homesick feeling, thinking about the great homecoming. Woke up this morning saying this could be the day. Woke up this morning listening for the trumpet.
Woke up this morning.
Yahoo!
That's the Tally Trio. Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. And the lines are now open, phone lines. Give us a call. If you have an end time question, 888-677-WORD.
And did we say who that was by?
The Tally Trio. You want to say it again?
Yeah.
I'll say it one more time, too.
Woke up this morning.
One of your favorite songs, I
think. It is. Yeah. Well, because I like high energy songs and just kind of lifts you up, you know. And
well, I think it lifted up my microphone.
I like to play it early in the morning. And
do you really?
Know, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. You are a morning person.
I am.
Hey, let me remind the folks, too, that Shofar Ministries Hour, we're here every Tuesday, 8 p.m. Why not recommend us to a friend?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. And coming up this Friday. And every first Friday, actually, of the month at Chesterland Christian Center. I can't say that tonight either. at 7 p.m. Friday, and that's at 11815 Chillicothe Road, and that's Route 306.
That's right, and I'd love to see you.
Join Sheila and I out there. We have good worship music, and we learn a lot.
Thank you.
And it's fun. You make it fun.
Thank you.
So let's continue. Okay?
Okay. Now, we did our review, and before we get right into verse 18, I want to remind you that in verse 16 that we did last week, it says it's time for the bride, and again, now we're his wife, to leave the hadar, which is a Hebrew word for the bridal chamber,
mm-hmm.
and the hoopah of heaven with our Messiah to return to earth. So, let's read verse 18.
Okay, verse 18, book of Joel, second chapter. Then the Lord will be zealous, and that's actually kana, that's a Hebrew word, and in your Strong's that's 7065, he'll be zealous for his land and pity his people.
That's right. And why is he pitying his people? Because they were weeping and they were crying. And these are those that were saved during the tribulation, both the 144,000 Jews and the tribulation saints. And again, verse 17 said, you know, they were weeping and crying. There was a lot happening. Again, we're in the end days.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, Lord, when are you coming? When are you coming? So the Lord was jealous for his land, or zealous, and he pitied his people and answered their prayer. So let's read verse 19.
Verse 19, the Lord will answer and say to his people, behold, I will send you grain and new wine and oil, and you will be satisfied by them. I will no longer make you a reproach among the nations.
Right. He was assuring them that the kingdom was soon to happen. Not only is the grain, the new wine, and the oil main staples of life, the spiritual application, or if you want to call it typology, it'd mm-hmm. probably be a better word, but Jesus is the bread
mm-hmm.
who spilled his blood, represented by the wine, and who gives us the Holy Spirit.
Represented by the oil.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And it also gives a hint as to what time of year it is. For instance, John, when does the grain come to its fullest?
Harvest time.
Which is?
In the fall.
In the fall. And then when does the new wine being able to be made?
Okay, that's only in the fall.
That's right, because the grapes are ripe now.
Mm-hmm.
And what about the oil?
Well, the olive tree is, the olives are ripe in the fall.
That's right. So mm-hmm. it's the big harvest time.
Yeah.
And so I believe that we're going to come out of a hadar,
mm-hmm.
come back to earth in the fall. Now, that doesn't tell me what day or hour.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have a suspicion that it'll be on a Yom Kippur, as we talked about before. But now this isn't the rapture, though. This is the second coming.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that exactly 7 days, 7 years from when it begins is when it will end.
Right.
Okay.
And
it's
seven
just,
biblical years, by the
right.
way.
That's right. So the second coming, if it starts, know when it's coming.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I want to turn to James 5 because he also makes reference to the fact that it's going to be in the fall. And I'm going to read that quickly.
Is that 5:7?
Yes. So the context is the end of days.
Okay.
And he says, therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth. Now, when does the fruit of the earth come in?
At harvest time.
That's right. It's mm-hmm. in the fall.
Right.
And, of course, we know that his first coming, he fulfilled the spring feast.
Right.
He still has the fall feast to fulfill.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say 99.9% that he's coming back
in the fall.
there you go.
Well, I could say today, and there's nothing wrong with saying that at all. Just as today, I could say it's going to rain in about an hour, and I was right.
Mm-hmm.
When you see all the signs.
That's right.
You know.
And he rebuked his disciples for not recognizing the signs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we can't get caught up that way.
No.
That would be terrible.
That would be.
And then James goes on and says, waiting patiently for it until it receives both rains, the early and the latter. There was two major rains in Israel, in spring and in the fall. We're going to cover that a little bit more, actually, in Joel. So I just wanted to confirm that we're talking about the fall harvest.
Fall harvest we're talking about here, and this is an agricultural reference.
That's right.
There's a lot of that in the Bible.
And we'll see it again in verse 24, and I think we'll get to that still tonight. So now the next verse, in verse 20, God assures them that he can free them from all enemies.
Verse 20, for I will remove far from you the northern army and will drive him away into a barren and desolate land, with his face toward the eastern sea and his back toward the western sea. His stench will come up, and his foul odor will rise, because he has done monstrous things.
That's right. And of course, again, God confirming that he will take their enemies, all of them, far from them. We got the northern army that will be destroyed by God himself. And according to Ezekiel 39, also talks about the smell until the Gog and Magog are all buried, which takes like 7 months. And we also know from Revelation 19 and 20 that the Antichrist and the false prophet will be driven south toward the desert that faces the eastern sea of Israel.
What's that? What sea is that?
I believe it's the Dead Sea. Now, you could go further east to the Euphrates, but I'm going to tell you why I think it's the Dead Sea here coming up right now. And, of course, on the western side would be the Mediterranean. But anyway, I believe that the Antichrist and the false prophet will be thrown into the Dead Sea to join where Sodom and Gomorrah once stood. Okay? So those remains are all down in the Dead Sea as well at the very southern tip. That's where Sodom and Gomorrah was.
Oh, okay. And you were there, I think.
Not at Sodom and Gomorrah, but I was. I was at the Dead Sea. Yes, I was.
I know you had a birthday, but I know you're not that old. So.
Okay. Thank you for not sharing that. But anyway, let me just say this. When you have a destruction of cities and people after hundreds of years, it will produce oil. That's why after the flood, hundreds of years later, we have gotten our oil. It's mostly because of the Noah's flood.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I believe this oil is going to soon be discovered, by the way. Very, very positive it will be.
You know, and you've said this before, too, that they have found ancient paintings of the Dead Sea that pictures these, like, oil slicks on top, black
oil slicks.
This
has these, like pockets of black tar. Yeah, laying on top of the Dead Sea, and they would go and they would collect it. And they would use it for many things. Wood protection is something that comes to my mind. And I understand even some makeup, you know, like the Egyptians, you know how they used to put that black stuff all around them? Of course, I guess we still do today. So what?
It was green for the eyes.
Well, whatever.
There's a bit of information. I don't know where I got it. Why do they call it the Dead Sea anyway?
Okay, well, they call it the Dead Sea because nothing will grow there because of the salt content. Its salt content is at least 33% compared to 3% like in the Mediterranean. And also the best minerals in the world are found in the Dead Sea. Remember Lot's wife turning into a pillar of salt?
Yeah, that's a story. That's a story everyone remembers, I think.
Well, how fitting next to the Salt Sea. It's also called the Salt Sea.
Okay.
Because all that salt's there. And so for her to turn into a pillar of salt, I think that's amazing. And again, that's where Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed as well. But again, God does use the elements and the surroundings to teach us.
That's right.
And anyway, people all over the world come there to take these mineral baths and get a mud pack.
Yeah, I think you were there. Didn't you even swim in
there? I did swim there.
You said that.
I did. 4 different times, actually, and you really can't sink.
Well, were you trying to?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, I did. I tried to sink, but I couldn't. It's pretty amazing. It really is.
Oh.
I can't even explain it, but I highly recommend it.
Wow.
And if you're thinking of going to Israel, make sure you don't pass up swimming in the Dead Sea because you'll have an option. Don't pass that up.
Okay.
Also, the Dead Sea is the lowest point on the face of the earth. Wow. It's approximately 1,300 feet below sea level, John.
Yeah. And then another 1,000 feet to the bottom of that.
That's right. So you can see probably why most scholars believe the bottomless pit, which they believe is in the center of the earth. So this area could be the closest to hell. And I only say that because the Dead Sea could be the Lake of Fire due to all the oil there and the high salt content that makes one float. Now, think about what I just said.
So, okay, so if this body of water catches on fire, and the Antichrist and the false prophet, who are going to get thrown into a lake of fire,
they
could be floating on top of this.
Right, because it says we will see them. So.
Oh, yeah, we'll see them. Actually.
Yeah. So they wouldn't just dunk in and fall through. They would probably float in a lake of fire because of all the buoyancy in the Dead Sea.
Wow.
I don't know. Wow.
Well, there's some things in there, some surroundings for you.
Yeah, really.
Wow.
Okay, well, let's go on and read verse 21, John.
Verse 21, "Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done marvelous things."
That's right. So that's in contrast to the monstrous things that the enemies did. And again, God conveys to them, oh, by the way, let me just say that he will tell them in the next verse about his blessings upon the land. So why don't you read verse 22 and let's look at those blessings.
Okay. Verse 22, "Do not be afraid, you beasts or animals of the field, for the open pastures are springing up and the tree bears its fruit. The fig tree and the vine yield their strength." And of course, the fig tree, Jerusalem, the vine, Israel, right?
That's right. So he's telling him, hey, don't hold on because the millennial kingdom's coming and everything's going to be great. Okay, and it's going to happen quickly.
Good news there.
That's right. Now, I got to remind people, too, that we're now talking to the people in the latter days.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay, this is not us. We're in heaven at this point, right?
Well, basically, this is talking to the last generation that will be reading this.
Oh, I see.
So that would be us.
Would that? Oh, okay.
I'm just showing you that it's not back in, like, the first chapter, which was dedicated to those people then.
Oh, I see. Yeah, this is for us.
This is future now.
That's
okay,
right.
And this will help you as you read it, because he's, like, talking to the last generation. He's going, look it, this is what's going to happen.
And, of course, we've learned that. I've learned that from you, from going through other books of prophecy in the Bible, that there are huge gaps in time.
Yes, sometimes there is.
And this is one of them. And verse 23, I'll read that. "Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord." That's Lord, all capital letters. That's the Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh.
Right, the so Lord, that's Yahweh.
Yahweh, your God, Elohim.
And this is the plural.
Plural Elohim, for he has given you the former, or early rain, faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former, or early rain, and the latter rain, in the first month.
Okay, now this is, we're going to take this slow.
Okay, because that's a little confusing to me.
Sure it is. Well, first of all, you know that rain is always a blessing in Israel.
Oh, absolutely. And I've lived in a climate similar to Israel now where it only rained a couple times a year, and that's Southern California.
Right.
So you only get rain twice.
Major rain.
Yeah,
right.
Major rain. Mm-hmm.
When I was over in Israel, I remember I was talking to one of the other ladies in the group, and I was saying, oh, we've been so lucky. We haven't rained. It hasn't rained on us, and we've been so blessed, I think is how I said it, so that we could see all the sights and not have to worry about the rain. And one of the other ladies overheard me, not in the group, but a Jewish lady, and she kind of walked over to me and she goes, please don't curse us. You know, and I looked at her and she goes, lack of rain is a curse.
Yeah, for that land, because that land depends on those two
rain
rains.
Is a blessing.
It is the blessing. And they have a term for it, too, the rain of blessing in Hebrew.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. So two major rains, one in the spring and one in the fall. Now, the former, or the early rain, represents the spring rain, and this is the season of Passover when Jesus came and gave his life for all. The latter rain is in the fall when he returns. So he is that rain. He came to fulfill both the spring feast, and he will come back to fulfill the fall feast. It's associated with the two major rains.
Okay, now that's understandable. Where I get confused is the latter rain being in the first month, and then we understand that the first month is actually in the spring, you know, Nisan.
Well, let me say something here.
Okay.
It says...
Help me out with this.
Yeah. They're both going to be in the first month, and the reason they say that is the Bible says that is that it does occur in the first month, because his first fulfillment was at Passover, which is in the month of Nisan, which is the first month on the Hebrew biblical calendar.
Mm-hmm.
And his next fulfillment is when he returns to the earth for the fall feast in Tishrei. This is the first month on the civil calendar.
Okay, so this is like a two-calendar verse.
That's correct. Both major rains.
Yeah.
Are in the first month. One's on the civil calendar and one's on the biblical calendar.
Okay, now it makes sense to me.
Okay. And God usually uses, again, the current elements to coincide with the teaching of prophecy. And we see this as no exception right here. So basically there's two major rains in the spring and in the fall. Okay, and that's to water the barley in the spring and the new plantings in the fall. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's compared with Jesus' two comings. The first coming, when he gave his life in the season of the spring, and when he returns as king in the season of the fall. All the little pieces fit. It's like a huge prophecy puzzle, and the pieces fit this way. And if anytime you get something that doesn't fit, like a post-tribulation rapture or something, that does not fit with the scenario. You have to throw it out.
Okay. Do you think they're actually... That's like pounding a square peg into a round hole or something. It just doesn't... You have to really beat it to make it fit.
Yeah, you're right. Exactly. And some of them do, by the way.
Yeah, they do.
All right. Let's continue in verse 24. And again, this is going to confirm once again the season, as you will see.
Okay. The threshing floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil.
Okay. So barley's in the spring, wheat is threshed in the fall, and the grapes for the new wine are in, as well as the olives for the oil, like we already said. More confirmation.
Oh, yeah. It's all there. You know, that's really, everything's in the Word.
You know, everything really is. Everything.
Everything
is in
God's Word. So if you're missing God's Word in your life, you're missing everything.
You're missing so much. Yeah. I mean, if you just think about God Almighty who made us, okay, he created us. So he has the right to decide what the rules are. Sort of like a Monopoly game, you know, or any game. You read the rules first because whoever created the game decides how it should be played.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, God created us, so he makes the rules and how it should be done.
Wow.
And he said that sin has to be paid for.
That's right.
Okay? It's the innocent blood has to pay for sin. It's his rule.
So many people have a problem with that concept.
I know.
And it's a shame.
I know. But the first thing that Adam and Eve had to do was sacrifice an animal to pay for that sin. And then they used the coat of the animal for their covering.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about it is, in the Old Testament then, to pay for their sins, they had to sacrifice a sinless animal because it was the blood of a sinless animal that would pay for that sin, or at least cover it until Jesus, the Messiah, came, and his blood covered all of it. So all we have to do is believe that he did it. That is the only requirement. Just believe that his blood paid the debt for your sin. And do you know how many people say, well, I don't care, I don't believe that, I'm not really religious or whatever?
Hmm.
Wow. I mean, it's such a free gift, it's handed to you on a silver platter, and they ignore it.
We're living in the last day, I think. I don't use the word plural days anymore.
Yeah, really.
And there's a lot of deception out there, and there's a lot of just apathy, and most of it's because of sin.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah. Well, anyway, let's go on.
Okay.
But I believe that those, actually, I believe that he wants those who are really close to him, that desire to be close to him and show him by studying his word, that's showing him how much you love him because you want to know more about him.
Of course.
And because of that, he wants us to have a better insight than those who are just lukewarm. And that is why I try to stir you up to dig deeper.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you dig deeper, he's going to give you more insight. You're going to know more than the average Joe at the lukewarm church.
That's true. And, you know, the tool that is so important to have when you're digging deeper is a knowledge of the first century Hebrew roots of the faith.
That's right.
And that's the tool you need.
Well, because Jesus was Jewish.
That's right.
You know, he went along with the program when he was on earth.
That's right. So that's a great tool, and we use that tool every week to help you, those of you that study along with us,
mm-hmm.
To understand what he's saying to us.
That's right. Now, we have another verse, actually, in Hosea chapter 6, who also speaks of his two comings as the early and the latter rain.
Hmm.
And by the way, I want to point this out, that the word for early is moreh. It's number 4175, and it can also mean teacher.
Also, it does mean teacher.
Yes, it does.
It does.
I mean, it has two. It can mean early rain, and it can also mean teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to let the people know what the original actually says out of the interlinear Masoretic text.
Okay.
It actually says for Joel 2:23, it says, "Then be glad, sons of Zion, and rejoice in Yahweh,
your God,
your Elohim, mm-hmm. for he has given to you the early rain according to righteousness." Now, some scholars interpret the early rain as saying he has given you the teacher of righteousness.
Oh, man. What a picture there.
And that's right.
Oh, that's cool.
That's right. And before we get into Jesus' initials, I would like to turn to Hosea 6:3 so that we can get that confirmation.
Do you have it handy?
I think so. I do. Well, it's right here. Hosea 6:3. I love Hosea. Oh, my gosh. Have you heard me say that I didn't like any of them?
Don't recall.
I know. You know, I'm going to, first of all, I'm going to start in verse 5:15 because we have an extra few minutes.
Okay.
And it's such good scripture here. Hosea is prophesying, and he's speaking for Jesus, and in verse 15 of chapter 5, Jesus says, "I will return again to my place." So once he has left somewhere, he's going to return. Well, that's only heaven.
That's his place.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. he's going to return there until they acknowledge their offense. "They will seek my face, then they will seek my face, and in their affliction they will earnestly seek me." And that, I believe, is talking about the tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
And then in verse 1 it says, "Come and let us return to the Lord, for he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bandage us up." After 2 days, we've talked about this a couple mm-hmm. weeks ago, I believe that means 2,000 years, "he will revive us. On the third day," which would be the seventh day from the fourth, that's the resurrection. It says he will raise us up. So after 2 days, on the third day, "that we may live in his sight, let us know and let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord." That's what God wants us to pursue, his knowledge.
Is that, and that's exactly what that says, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. And it says his going forth is established as the morning. It's a done deal.
Right, and that, I love that part because it says God doesn't say, "Well, we'll just make it on a Tuesday," you know, and you know, because everything, His timing is established.
That's
it was
right.
established.
He already knows.
He already knows.
Yes. Yeah.
Cause,
and here's the part. It says he will come to us like the rain, like the latter and the former rain to the earth.
That's how God is going to come to us.
That's right. In both rains, and he did. He's fulfilled the spring rains, and he's going to fulfill the fall rains as well. So if you get anything else out of this show tonight, know that Jesus is coming back in the fall. The rapture will be in the fall, and 7 years later, the second coming, when we return with him, will be in the fall.
And that is?
That is a guarantee.
That's a guarantee?
Yeah.
Okay, because you said something about 90% before, but...
Although, you always want to be ready at any moment.
There you go.
But those that really know the deeper truths of God, pretty much 99.9% believe that it'll be in the fall.
We're supposed to know the signs of the times, and we're, you know, just like we can tell about the weather. And,
that's right.
And by studying, instead of the sky, studying God's word, we can tell about.
That's right. And we only have a couple of minutes, so I'm just going to say this one thing here. That it's interesting that in the interlinear, when you look at the Hebrew, the actual Hebrew now, in Joel 2, and oh, it's like in verse 23 for sure, where it talks about the early rain or the teacher of righteousness, right next to it is Jesus' initials.
Aleph.
Now, I've taught about this a long time ago, but the Aleph and the Tav, the first and the last of the alphabet, is sitting right there next to the teacher of righteousness. And there's nothing underneath it for an English interpretation. It's just there, his initials. If you have a chance, get an interlinear. If you're a studier, you should have one anyway. Mm-hmm. Look at it. You'll see it. It's right there in verse 23, and it's again in verse 26. And I think it's in verse 25. Amazing.
It's three times, I think, right in this.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. All these little details, and that's what I like to do. I like to point those out so it helps people do their own homework, stir them up to desire and have that passion to know him more. And that's really through the word. And when you read the word, you're praying the word as well.
You really believe that, don't you?
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
Well, you have a shining, happy, bright face on tonight, as you always do.
I'm happy.
You're one of the happiest people I have ever run into in my
happy,
life.
Happy, happy, happy.
Even when you're down, you're happy. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to have to leave you now. Sorry, but if you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, at least do what we were talking about earlier. Just repent of those sins and believe that his blood covers your sins. And you will be saved.
That's right.
And if you have questions for Sheila or you would like her to speak at your church or your church group,
give me a call.
Yeah, give her a call, 440-834-9006, or just email her.
Okay.
Are we ready for the Aaronic blessing? I see you making some hand signals.
Okay. Go.
Okay. All righty. We'll leave you with the Aaronic blessing tonight. Yevarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha, yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yisem lecha. Shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. I just want to remind you, first of all, join us next Tuesday again at 8 o'clock, but also this Friday in Chesterland. Come on out and see us. And until then, sha'alu shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Those who love her, Jerusalem shall prosper. Not maybe.
Where can you find that?
Psalm 122.
6. See you next week.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@shofarministries.net. That's Sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.